Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Hey ho, everybody. Anybody home? Anybody?
Hey, Kai.
There we go. Ah, you're killing me. Killing me. God, freaking Josh. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where, as soon as we're ready, we make today make sense.
And I'm Samantha Fields. It's What We Miss Monday, where we catch you up on some stories you might have missed over the weekend, then get to a few Make Me Smiles that you, our listeners, have sent in.
All right, so first of all, I'm back after knee surgery. I'd just like to let everybody know it went fine. It's all good. I'm
fine. Glad to hear. Welcome back, Kai. We missed you.
Got my physical therapy going, so it's all set. Going to see the surgeon on Thursday. Anyway, just because I know everybody's been waiting with bated breath to find out how I'm doing, because I've been gone all the time. Anyway, so here's the way this goes on a Monday and most other days. Actually, Mondays are different. So we're going to do one big news item, and then we'll do a couple of what do we miss is over the weekend or early this morning. And then we'll do a couple of Make Me Smiles by you, our faithful listeners, and then we will get out the way. I think the big news of the day and of, frankly, who knows how much longer this is going to be going on, is the whole Ukraine thing. Obviously, lots of back and forth. Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, invited Biden to Kiev this week. I don't know if Biden's going to go. My guess would be not. But just to frame it in marketplaces terms, all the agita over there has sent the U.S. benchmark oil index, which is, of course, West Texas Intermediate, priced out of Cushing, Oklahoma. Sorry, I'm popping my peas a lot. priced out of Cushing, Oklahoma. To $94 and change today, which is a bunch. And I saw, actually, at my corner gas station, $5 a gallon. So the longer this goes on, and the longer that energy is used as a pawn in this thing, which it is with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and all of that stuff, it's going to be messy for the global economy. And I just wanted to get that out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I saw something that I read today that really sort of struck me was, you know, you're talking about the gas prices that you're seeing when you go to fill up. For every penny of that gas rises a gallon, it costs American consumers $4 million a day, which is kind of wild.
Oh, yeah. Totally believe that. Totally believe that. And here's the other part of that. It's it factors obviously into inflation, and as inflation rises and becomes a political issue for the president and for Democrats, it becomes all that much more substantive for them, and it's not an easy challenge for them to solve when geopolitics is saying, oh, no, hold my beer. So, you know, that's what I got.
Curious, news-wise. You know, Kai, you know, Russia produces about 10% of the world's oil, I was reading, but only about 3% of U.S. oil. So, I mean, how significant is this specifically for us here in the U.S., would you say?
Well, so look, I would say it is perhaps not significant on an instantaneously tangible basis. But as you know, prices of a lot of commodities, oil first among them, are sensitive to consumer expectations and consumer mood. And the more we see gas going up, the more of an issue it becomes for us. And look, it factors into inflation, because gas prices are the thing you see in 8-inch to high letters every single damn day. And there are people out there who probably cannot tell you how much a gallon of milk costs, but can tell you to the penny, to the 9/10 of a penny, how much gas costs. And that's why it influences the politics in this country. And it's a big challenge for the Dems. Big challenge.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's what I got. All right. I'm going to fix my pop filter. And while I do that, you start on your new stuff. How about that?
Yeah. So the other big story, right, certainly of the day and just of the weekend that I've really been sort of increasingly sucked into is everything that's going on in Canada with the Freedom Convoy. Over the weekend, Sunday, they cleared the Ambassador Bridge, which is that bridge between Windsor and Detroit, that I just sort of find stunning, carries 25% of the trade between the U.S. and Canada. Huge number, of course. Traffic's moving there again. It seems like a lot of the sort of the biggest economic consequences of this are starting to clear up. But, you know, today, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act for the first time ever in Canada's history, which will give him sweeping federal powers to do all sorts of things, sort of including potentially, although he's saying he won't do this, you know, restricting people from gathering, prohibiting people, from assembling, restricting travel. And, you know, he's planning to use this, assuming Parliament approves it, to clear the protesters that still remain at other border crossings and in Ottawa. And they've been there for weeks now. It's a huge story.
Huge story. Longest undefended border in the world. $1.4-ish billion, that's U.S. dollars, not Canadian dollars. $1.4 billion of trade crosses that border every single day. As Sam said, some huge portion of it across the Ambassador Bridge. This is a don't mess around story at all. I mean, car plants in the United States are having to shut down because of this. Do not sleep on this story.
Yeah, hundreds of millions in losses for the car plants in the auto industry in the U.S. and in Canada, of course. You know, it's going back and forth. Yeah. It goes both ways. And I saw you were saying the over $1 billion a day. They were saying something like $360 million in cargo just on that one bridge, which, you know, all of this is just so incredible to me.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. What else you got?
You know, the other thing, I know you guys have talked on the show about all the quarantining, of course, that athletes going to the Olympics in Beijing have had to do for weeks to go to not get sick. But, you know, I was reading an article about the workers, the more than 50,000 Chinese workers who are working the Olympics, doing all sorts of jobs. And they had to arrive in early January, and they're going to be there, you know, for another week or two after the Olympics ends. This is weeks away from their families, from their other work, in this COVID bubble. And I just found that kind of extraordinary to think about, too.
It is amazing. Let me commend to everybody's attention a story that Jennifer Pack, our correspondent in Shanghai, did about getting back into China from going to see her parents in Canada for the first time in 2 years. She did a lovely little piece on Marketplace about a week ago. And honestly, the nightmare that it was, and that's what folks over there are dealing with every single day. It's we're watching it on TV, but the behind-the-scenes story is kind of wild.
Following Jennifer's Instagram stories about her quarantining each way, it was incredible.
Great.
Yeah, it was. All of her stuff just soaked in disinfectant, all the PCR tests every day. I read something in that same piece that I was reading from the AP that we'll link for you guys, of course, but there have been more than 1.3 million COVID tests administered during the Olympics so far. So it's kind of kind of wild. Something like just over 400 positives. So
that's a lot of nose swabs. That's a lot.
Yes, it
swabs.
Is.
Right. You got one more, or are we gonna turn the page here?
I got one more, I read a really interesting story in the Boston Globe, my hometown paper, over the weekend about states trying to get people to repay unemployment benefits that they got in 2020 and 2021. I did a lot of reporting on this sort of over a year ago about how a lot of people, surprising numbers of people, were getting notices from the state months after they had gotten unemployment benefits saying, whoops, we made a mistake, you have to pay it all back. In some cases, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 worth of benefits that people had spent in most cases, on rent, on gas, on food, on, you know, on all sorts of essentials. And then being told, either we made a mistake or you made a mistake and we sent these benefits out and now you owe them back. And this is still happening. There are still lots of people who have appealed these decisions, are getting no answers, and are still potentially on the hook for thousands of dollars in unemployment benefits.
Yeah, they're going to have to like chase people down to get this back, right? I mean, I don't understand how.
Well, and states have the ability to claw it back, and that means literally take it out of their tax refunds or other you know, kinds of ways. So,
but you can see the headlines, right? There's going to be one article in the Washington Post about some 94-year-old grandmother, or well, maybe not because she's not working. But, you know, some 62-year-old woman with four kids who's having her unemployment clawed back, and it's all going to be over with, you know?
I think.
It hasn't been, though. There have been those stories, and they're still doing it. So I don't know what's going to happen with all these people.
I guess. Yeah. All right. I got a couple. One of which is the story of this ice skater, the Russian ice skater in the Olympics, 15-year-old girl named Kamila Valieva, who at Christmas time-ish tested positive for a banned substance. It only came out about 4 or 5 days ago. In other words, while she was at the Olympics, they got they medaled in the team competition, the Russians did. And now the ruling has come down today that an arbitration panel has said she gets to keep competing, but if she and the Russians win, there's not going to be a medal ceremony until everything is resolved. And that, of course, is going to take months. And this just seems to me to be a horrible, 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 horrible administrative nightmare. I mean, first of all, she's 15, right? So she's a minor. She's not, in theory, responsible for her actions. You know, adult Russian doctors said, here, take this. And she said, okay, fine. But on the other hand, it's I heard Tom Goldman this morning on Morning Edition. It's the fourth Olympics in a row in which Russian athletes have been involved in a doping scandal. And with not much more than a slap on the wrists. And look, nobody wants to make an example of a 15-year-old girl who is doing literally what she's trained her whole life to do. But holy cow, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way.
And there's, of course, always issues like this at the Olympics or often, but I have never heard of anything like this with an athlete being allowed to compete.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's precedent, but I haven't. I can't think of it. Yeah.
Totally.
And I was, I saw...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I saw a tweet from the American runner, Sha'Carri Richardson, saying, you know, what's the difference here? You know, she tested positive for marijuana, wasn't allowed to compete in Tokyo. And
her tweet actually said, this is pretty close to a quote. She said, the difference is in the skin.
Yep. Yeah. She said, right. Sha'Carri
Richardson's a black woman. Mm-hmm. And Valieva, obviously, a white woman. It's a mess in a very big way. Quick update on a story I chimed in on about a week, 10 days ago. I think it was Marielle, about this. What everybody thought was a SpaceX rocket that was going to crash into the moon on March the 4th. It turns out it's not actually a SpaceX rocket. So let's all get off Elon Musk's back about this. Let's, you know, keep pounding on him for a whole bunch of other things. But about this one, it's not him. It's a Chinese rocket that everybody lost track of and is now going to smash into the moon at like 9,000 miles an hour on the 4th of March. And I just wanted to correct the record. It's not Elon. It's the Chinese. Crazy story.
There is so much space garbage. It's
there is so much space garbage. So much.
I want to know how they figured out, or how they think they figured out that it was a Chinese rocket.
Well, the whole orbital mechanics thing is super cool. I don't have the actual intellectual power to you know, explain it, but it's really, really cool, that whole thing. But I'm a big space geek, so that's neither here nor there. All right, Drew, hit it. All right, we're going to do a little Make Me Smiles. On Mondays, they come from all y'all. And this one also Olympic-themed. And it's a great story. It comes from Marquette Green, one of our crack producers. And it's about a speed skater. 6 years ago, Erin Jackson is her name. She was an inline skater, you know, with like wheels on dry land and stuff. And I saw this video actually last night on NBC. The first time she stepped on the ice on speed skates, and it was like a little kid getting on ice skates for the first time. She could barely go anywhere. Now, this was yesterday's news, but it's really cool. She won a gold medal in the 500 meters by like 4/1000ths of a second. She was the first black woman to win a speed skating medal at the Winter Olympics. And it was super cool to see. And if that doesn't make you smile, nothing should, because this is a cool moment in athletics and in the Olympics.
So cool looking back at that video of her getting on skates for the first time, on ice skates for the first time, and thinking that she won a gold medal is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Erin.
Yep, totally.
And our next Make Me Smile comes from a listener who left us this voice message.
Hi, this is Becca calling from Norwalk, Connecticut.
I have a make me smile for you, which is that today, Wednesday, February 9th, it brought me so much joy to hear an amazing episode of Marketplace hosted by Rima, featuring reporting from Samantha, Lily, Danielle, Andy, some other people I've missed, and then to follow it up with a Make Me Smart hosted by Mariel and Megan on a day when I really, 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 really needed some woman empowerment. So thank you so much for that. Also, can we make hashtag Working Women Wednesdays a thing across all the Make Me Smart shows? I think we should. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Becca. That's so incredible to hear. Thank you for listening.
I should be out more often. That's all I'm saying. I should just leave when we'd get everybody on.
I don't think that's what everyone's saying.
There are plenty of awesome women at Marketplace, and I'm so glad every time I turn on the radio. I didn't used to, actually, this is a true story. I didn't used to listen when I wasn't hosting the show because I was insecure or something, but now I do. And Rima is awesome. Amy's great. Kimberly's good to hear. And it's so cool to hear all these women at Marketplace. It's really great.
Yeah, truly. We do have a pretty incredible crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Very
honored
cool
to be a part of it.
All right. So that is it for us today, myself and Ms. Fields. Kimberly's back tomorrow doing a deep dive. We're talking geoengineering, which there are thoughts and hopes and prayers that that is a way out of the climate crisis. And then there are some who say, no, that's ridiculous. Why are you tinkering with the machinery of the universe, basically? So we'll see how we're feeling by the end of the episode. I frankly am curious to hear what our chosen expert has to say.
Me too. And if you have a question you want answered for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, you can email a note or a voice memo to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or you can call and leave a voice message, 508-UB-SMART. And that's the letters U and B.
That's actually a good thing to point out. I'm not sure we ever did point that out. I can see people doing YOUBESMART.
Much too long.
Too many numbers. Make Me Smart, which is this podcast that you are listening to, is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Help this week and always from Mark A. Green. Drew Jostad was in charge down in the studios in DTLA.
Our senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Boom. Done. Monday in the can. Monday in the can.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.